We'll turn first of all to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 12. I was thinking about these scriptures when I was thinking of Sister Loreen. I was thinking what a fine Christian example, what a fine Christian lady she was, and thought about several people of the church here. God has blessed Fellowship Baptist Church with some good godly people that love the Lord and want to do what's right. I would encourage you, as believers, be consistent. People's watching. They're watching. People watch your life. For every person that you know that watches your life, there's probably 10, 15, 20 or more that you don't know that's watching your life. People watch. And it's very important that we live an example of Christ before them. If you'll hold your place here in Romans chapter number 12, we'll turn to a verse of scripture in 2 Corinthians, if you'll turn there just for a moment. I shared this scripture Sunday morning, and it's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, where Paul was writing to the church there at Corinth, and he told them how important it was for them to conduct their lives in a godlike manner. We live in, I don't have to tell you, the times that we live in, they're perilous. And there are so many people that are falling away from the faith. So many people that serve God out of convenience. Don't you be that person. Don't you be that person. Be strong. Be committed. Serve the Lord. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 2. He said, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." People's watching you. They're watching me. You know, I may never have an opportunity to witness to some people that are watching me from afar. And you may never have the opportunity to witness to some people that are watching you from afar with your lips. But you can with your life. Now, if you have the opportunity, I believe we ought to witness to everyone that God puts in the pathway of our life with our lips. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not teaching or preaching a lifestyle evangelism only, but it does matter how we live. God will not give us the opportunity to witness to everyone with our lips, but our lives say a lot. And the way we live is an epistle. It's a letter about how Jesus changes lives. And so you be mindful of that. In the hard times, and as we've already discussed tonight, there's people in our church congregation that are going through very difficult times. In the hard times, people want to see, is your Christianity good for the hard times? Are you what folks refer to as a fair weather Christian? Or does your Christianity work in the storms of life? Does my Christianity work when there's death and sorrow? Does Jesus care? Is Jesus real to me when there's heartache and pain? We know the answer to that. We know the answer. And we have to be faithful and show other people. If the only time we serve God is when it's convenient, then people notice that too. I want you to turn back to Romans chapter 12. I'll read some scripture there, and then we'll flip over to Colossians. I'll read some scripture, and we'll have a word of prayer. As I've been studying in the book of Leviticus, as you turn to Romans chapter 12, I find it interesting that over and over again in the second section of that book, and we'll get to that eventually in our studies on Wednesday night, how that God continually reminded the people there, "I am your God. I'm your God, and you're to live for me." As I thought about these passages of Scripture here, I thought about the importance of what it is to just follow biblical Christianity. That's what the world needs to see. They need to see people that are living biblical Christianity. I mean, in every area of your life, in every area of my life. Again, not out of convenience. It's too many people that just, when it's convenient, they do right. But when it's not, then they just do what they think needs to be done. Don't be one of those kind of people. Be a person that does right when people are watching and when they're not. Because God's always watching, isn't he, brethren? God's always watching. And so remember that. This is not about pleasing the preacher. This is not about putting on a front in front of a brother or sister or family in Christ. This is about living a life that's honoring to God and that makes a difference in the lives of others. In Romans chapter 12, we'll begin our reading in verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. In other words, don't fake it. Right? That word there could be a word for hypocrisy. Don't fake it. Let it be real. Let it flow from your heart. Why? Because Paul had written back in chapter 5 of the book of Romans that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Let Jesus love others through you. So it's not easy to love people. We all know that. And we're not easy to love either. And yet God loves us. And God loves us with an unconditional love. And God has called upon us to love others. Why? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So he said, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Are you getting it? Love. Don't fake it. It's okay to hate some things. Hate evil. Abhor. It ought to be distasteful to us. There ought to be a righteous indignation in our soul about evil. He said, abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Talking to believers now. Talking to you. Talking to me. This is what we're to do. This is how we're to live our lives. This is the exemplary life that God has called me to live and called you to live. He said in verse number 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Watch it. In honor, preferring one another. Don't always be looking how someone can minister to you. Always in honor, be looking how you can minister to others. Because I will grant you, as long as you are looking to minister to others, God will send someone to minister to you. He will. He said in verse number 11, not slothful in business. Don't be slothful. Don't be lazy. Don't do things halfway. God's given you something to do. Do it with all that's within you. Amen? You have a ministry of the church, don't halfway do it. Don't be unprepared. Don't just throw it together. Take it serious. It ought to mean something to you. Young men, when you've been called upon to do something for God, when you've given that privilege, take it serious. The same for the young ladies. The same for all of us. We're privileged to be able to serve God. It's a privilege. It's an honor. The commandments of God are not grievous. 1 John 5:3. We shouldn't say, well, you know, the church has a standard and we're asked to do this or not to do this if we're going to be serving in the church. You ought to count it a high honor that you even have the opportunity to serve God with your life. Shouldn't we all, brethren? Shouldn't we all? We don't want to be of that complaining crowd. Well, the preacher expects us to dress this way or not to do this or listen to that or not to listen to that or do this or not do that. Well, the preacher's trying to draw some standard from the Word of God to help us to be an example to others. And we ought to, instead of zeroing in on one or two things that we nitpick or don't like to do, we ought to praise God that we're even have the ability and the honor to serve Jesus with our lives. So don't get it mixed up and backwards now. And so he said, don't be slothful in business. And I think that means not just the business of the church. I really think it means the business of the world. Conduct your business in a way that would be honoring to God. He said this in verse number 11, be fervent in spirit. In other words, what you do, not only don't do haphazardly, but don't do half-hearted. Put your all in it, right? See, this is Christianity. This is what's going to attract people right here, brethren. Right here is what's going to get people's attention. This sleepwalking and going through the motion and just hot and cold, off and on, serving God when it's convenient, but then doing what you want to do or I want to do when it's not. That's not going to get anyone's attention for the cause of Christ. It's going to get some attention, but it's going to be a reproach to Christ. And so here's Paul. He's saying, do the right thing. Love right. There's some things you should love. There's some things you shouldn't love. There's some things you should do. Look at what he said in verse number 11. Serving the Lord. Every Christian ought to serve the Lord with their life. The happiest Christians I've ever met in my Christian experience are servants. People with servants' hearts. People that just serve the Lord. Not looking for accolades or pat on the back or attaboys. Just people who serve the Lord because they love Jesus. You see. If the only reason you serve God is so you can get a little attention, it'll be a miserable service for you. It will. But if you serve the Lord because you love Jesus, it's a wonderful thing. It really is. You won't count the down times and the misery and the hardships. You'll count the blessings of what it is to serve the Lord. He said in verse number 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. What instruction here? What instruction? This is Christianity. Here it is right here. It's what you and I need to be doing every day in our lives. As God gives us opportunity, we need to be, this right here is what we need to be doing in our lives. This ought to be the example that we have in the workplace, in the home, in the community. It ought to be right here. He said this. He said in verse number 14, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Kind of difficult, isn't it? Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Someone comes to you and tells you they got a raise on the job. Don't be envious and jealous of them. Praise God with them. Praise God with them. Amen? Rejoice with them that do rejoice. If God's done something for them, possibly that you wanted God to do for you, but yet God did it for them. Learn what it is to rejoice with people that God is blessing. He said, not only are we to rejoice with them that do rejoice, but we're to weep with them that do weep. Learn what it is to sympathize with others. Learn what it is to have compassion. I say, well, you know, it's not me. Well, it may be one day. It may be one day. Right, brethren? This is just good instruction straight out of the Word of God. Don't need a lexicon or a concordance or Bible dictionary. We just open our Bible and read and say, hey, this is what God wants me to be. And I can't do this in my flesh. I need the filling of the Holy Spirit. I need God's power to do this. But it can be done. It can be done. Can it? Be a Christian, Paul said. Just be a Christian. He said in verse number 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. And that's something. Don't think you're better than other people. Someone maybe not as educated as you, or not as far along as you, or maybe not have the mental capacity of you, or the spiritual aptitude that you have. Don't feel like you're better than they are. Pull up beside them. Be their friend. Right? Accept them. Embrace them. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The day that Fellowship Baptist Church, and God has great plans for this church. The question is not, is God going to do great things here? He's already done great things. And He's going to continue to. But the question is, are we going to allow Him to? Are we going to cut off His blessing by thinking we're all that and thinking, well, you know, it's time maybe to exclude this class of people or this group of people? That'll never happen while I'm the pastor. The doors of Fellowship Baptist Church are open to all who want to come and worship. You want to come and worship here, the doors are open. Come worship with us. We worship the one true and living God. I don't care what your IQ is. I don't care if you finished school. I don't care what color your skin is. If you want to worship our God, come on, worship with us. Amen? And here Paul was warning against. He said, be careful. Be careful how you view other people. It's so easy to be judgmental. And we all can be guilty of this now. We all can be guilty and think, well, you know, and we might find ourselves snickering or laughing or making light of someone. Well, God's not pleased with that in my life or in yours. And we have to be mindful. We have to be mindful. God loves everyone. God loves everyone in that He wants to see them saved. Now, God doesn't love everyone as far as the sin that they've committed and are committing, okay? But God has a special place in His heart for people with disability. And we need to embrace them and love them. And Paul said here, he said, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Don't think you're better than other people. That could be financially, that could be intellectually, that could be spiritually. Don't think you're better than someone else. I'm going to tell you, God found you in the same old hole He found everyone else. Right? You remember that. Then He said here, be not wise in your own conceits. It just all goes together. Sometimes we have a way of thinking that we may be something that we're really not. We see ourselves a little differently maybe than what we really are. It can happen. Verse 17, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now, who would have ever thought in the church that this would have to be something that we'd have to repeatedly remind people? Got to be honest now. Got to be honest with people. Right? Don't be dishonest. Don't lie to people. That's what he's saying. Don't be deceitful. Just be truthful. If it be possible, verse number 18, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I'm going to close right there. Our time is up. We're going to have a season of prayer. That's one of my favorite verses of Scripture, verse 18. I've committed it to memory. Because as a pastor, I meet all kinds of people. And I don't know what it is about people, but they want to get contentious with the preacher. They want to try to, you know, challenge the preacher's authority or the preacher's biblical knowledge, or they just want to kind of get contentious. And, well, I can be contentious. I know that's hard for you to believe. But I can be a little contentious myself, and if I'm not carefully, I won't live as peaceably. But the Bible says, as much as in you is, live peaceably with all men. As much as in you is. You put forth your grandest effort to be at peace with people. Don't be a peace breaker. Be a peacemaker. Find a way that you can bring peace and not trouble. The Bible teaches this, brethren. Don't always be contentious and think that's spiritual. Some people think contention is spiritual. You know, they got that attitude. Well, we told them, we showed them. Listen, winning is not always the best thing. All right? You have to understand that. Sometimes good just turn and walk away. It's good. And in order to keep the peace, sometimes you may have to do that. I've had to do it. And no doubt you've had to do it too. The only way the peace is going to be kept is just to walk away. Not choose not to fight, but choose to fight another time. Maybe emotions were too high. The setting was not right. It wasn't good. Learn what it is to walk away from that situation and live to fight another day. Isn't that what they say? And it's so. This book teaches this. There's some times that you've got the right thing to say and you have the right to say it, but it may not be the right time. So choose wisely. Just walk away from that and come back maybe when things have died down some and that person may be in a little more receiving mode to where they'll listen and hear what God has given you to tell them. All right? Good instruction from the Word of God that I've been thinking about just living the Christian life, doing what's right, doing what's right. Now, I want us to have a season of prayer. If you can and you're able, and I realize not everyone can and not everyone's able, but I want you to come and just gather around the altar tonight. We're going to have a season of prayer. Pray for our church family. Pray for those that are going through difficult times. You sure may. Now, I want you to come right here. I'll let you lead us in prayer. Brother David's going to say a word of testimony when everyone gets set, and then he's going to lead us in prayer. Again, I would ask you to pray for our church families. Pray for Sister Dobbins. She needs prayer. Okay? She needs to hear from heaven. And I'm glad she can.
That's what my testimony is about. I was about to bust over here right before the pastor started speaking, and then he spoke about being a Christian. And I just confirmed in my heart I should have gave my testimony before. But I want to give a word of encouragement to some of you elder saints here tonight. I got such a blessing, probably one of the biggest blessings I've got in some time, on the phone with Sister Dobbins today. I talked to Sister Wanda, and she was so, you know, troubled and just, you know, concerned. And anyway, we were talking, and she said, "Mama's doing good." And I laughed, and I said, "Sister Wanda, I apologize for that." I said, "But I just kind of knew she was." And I said, and she said, "Would you like to talk to her?" And I said, "I would like to talk to her." And she put her on the phone, and as soon as Miss Dobbins started talking, tears just started going down my face. And Miss Dobbins didn't know that, but because she couldn't tell that she was talking, and I was crying. And I was just thinking, what a Christian. What a Christian. And I hung up the phone with Miss Dobbins, and I was riding down the road, and I just prayed, and I said, "God, give me the faith that woman's got. I said, God, please help me to be that kind of Christian. That's the kind of Christian I want to be." And my mind went back past him sitting in the hospital out there at Martha Jefferson, the emergency room, when Brother Dobbins was told some bad news, and I felt the same way. I remember riding down the road just weeping after leaving the hospital room where Brother Dobbins was told he had a short time to live, and it didn't shake that man's faith, not even an ounce. And I thought, wow, what a Christian. And so for you, some of you that are older and been around a little bit longer, I want to tell you, your testimony is such an encouragement to this young Christian. I sure hope I got the faith that some of you saints have got. I've been serving God for 13 years. I pray to God that one day I can, if Jesus doesn't come, I can be at the end of my race. And I'm not saying she's at the end of hers, but I've seen some at the end of theirs. 50, 60 years serving God, and don't regret a minute of it. And she said, She said, "Jesus has got this under control, Brother David." And I said, do you know he does?" She said, I've been knowing that for a long time." I said, "Yes, ma'am." And I just want to try to give you a word of encouragement. Some of you that have been serving God a long time, you don't know the encouragement that you are to this young preacher. Just your testimony, just being faithful and loving God. And I thank God for people like that. Miss Dobbins is a good Christian lady. She don't know the blessing she was to me today, but I called to try to be a blessing to her, and I guarantee you she was a lot more of a blessing to me than I was to her. And so, amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we want to come to you tonight and just as humbly as we can, God, just tell you that we love you. God, you're such a good God. God, there's so many people gathered around this altar tonight and some in their seats. And God, we realize that we don't deserve your goodness. God, we're not worthy of it. And God, we're just rejoicing in it. God, as we've heard many testify tonight of your presence and your working and your moving in their lives, God, we just want to say thank you. God, thank you for loving us. And God, thank you for being mindful of us. God, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Oh God, you're such a good God, and you're so worthy of our praise, and you're so worthy of our adoration. God, you're worthy of our service. God, you're worthy of our lives. God, I pray, Lord, that we would be faithful. God, that we would serve you, God, the way that you are worthy of being served. God, I thank you for the testimonies tonight. Changed lives, and answered prayers, and peace in storms. And God, just things that you do, Lord, not just in this place, but places all around this world. God, you are God. There's none beside thee. There's none like thee. God, we just want to thank you. And God, tonight as we bow around this altar, Lord, there's many in our church family who are struggling. God, there's some that have great spiritual needs, Lord. And some we know of, some we have no recognition, no knowledge of whatsoever. But God, you know. And that's what matters. And God, we come to you tonight and we just plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon those lives. God, we pray that you would do a miracle in the hearts of your people. There were numerous that stood up tonight and talked about getting away from you, God, but testified that when they came back, you were just as you were when they left. You never changed, God. And I pray for those tonight that are slipping away, Lord. I pray that you would reveal that to them. God, that you love them, that you'll help them, and that you'll strengthen them. And God, you'll use them, Lord, if they'll allow it. God, there's those tonight that have lost loved ones and their hearts are heavy. God, I pray that you would be with them and strengthen them and give them the encouragement that only you can give. Lord, help us as fellow Christians to live out what our pastor read to us tonight. God, help us to be your servants and to be available and willing to do what you lead us to do. God, I pray tonight for those that have physical needs. We've heard Miss Dobbins, Lord, needs your touch, and God needs your wisdom, Lord, about decisions. And I pray, God, that you would give that dear saint of God the wisdom that she needs, and God, just help her to know exactly what your will for her life is. Be with Sister Wanda, Brother Carl, little Carl. God, I pray that you would just be with that family during this time. Others, Lord, in our church that have physical needs, God, and just going through great trials in their body. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them like only you can. God, I pray you'd be comfort to them, Lord, in that affliction. And God, I just pray that you would use them, Lord, during this time in their life to be a blessing to someone else. God, I pray, Lord, for our church, that you would put a protection around it, God. As we've heard tonight, there's an enemy that's out to destroy what you're doing here. And God, we know the promises of your word, and we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Lord, I pray that we would lean heavy upon you. And God, I pray that you would fight our battles for us, Lord. I pray that we would be willing and we would be available. God, I pray that you would do the work that needs to be done. And Lord, I pray that you would use this place in a great way to reach souls in this community, God, around the world through mission work. And God, I pray that you would just raise up young men and young women out of this place that would go out into this community and the surrounding communities and even around this world, preaching the gospel, planting churches, and making a difference in the time that we have left. Lord, may this place, may Fellowship Baptist Church be a station for saints to be encouraged and challenged and to be trained, and God, to be used in your service. Lord, please be with our pastor, God, as he carries this load, Lord, of shepherding this flock. And God, I pray that you would just have your hand upon him as you have, and just continue to strengthen him. God, use him in a great way as he ministers. And God, minister to him, Lord, and just give him that he needs, Lord, the wisdom and the filling that he needs to lead this church. And God, we just thank you for all that you do for us. We love you. And God, we just want to tell you that we love you tonight. And Lord, we pray that you would use us as we leave this place to reach this community for your cause, that you might get the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.